Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 97, PieCast, Thursday, November 5th, 2015. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. This episode is all about pies, pie baking, tips for pie baking, and anything else related to pies. And I'm very pleased to have my mom, Kathleen, as my co-host this week.
Hi, Mom. How are you today?
I'm great, Sarah. It's great visiting with you.
How about if we start with a little discussion of what we did before sitting down to record this podcast?
Well, we just made 15 pie crusts. I have a church dinner on Saturday, and so we made the crust ahead of time, the dough, and we refrigerated it. So it'll make it easier for me to bake tomorrow. So
I have some questions from listeners, and I hope you can help us out. I know you'll be honest.
I will, and I'll try to help you. I don't know if I have the answers to all of them, but I'll try.
The first question is an Instagram question from Twinset Jan, who asks, PieCast, here's my question. Lard or Crisco?
Lard. If you have lard and you're not eating pie every day, I suggest you definitely use the lard. It makes by far the most tender pie crust that there is.
And would you use it in the same amount?
Usually it's about a third of a cup of shortening butter or lard to every cup, or maybe a generous cup of flour. That works well.
Blue China Doll says, I have a couple of questions. First, how do you decide how much sugar to add to a fruit pie, such as apple?
Well, I suggest you taste the fruit first and just see. Some fruits are very, very tart, and you like raspberries, sour cherries. You need probably a cup of sugar in a pie. If you don't put that in there, you'll probably be disappointed in your pie. Another thing that can be done if you want to use less sugar is some kind of a topping that's a little sweet on top of it. So you have a tartar pie, a little bit of sweet topping. Otherwise, I'd say between a half a cup and a cup is probably good for a pie. Strawberry rhubarb sometimes can use quite a bit of sugar. I've used as much as a cup and a quarter, even pushing more than that. So you can, when you put your sugar into your fruit, taste it. A little bit of lemon, a little bit of cinnamon, nutmeg can also enhance the taste, and maybe you won't need it quite as sweet.
And do you have any tips for keeping the bottom of the pie crust from becoming soggy when baking pumpkin or sweet potato pies?
Well, depending on what kind of pie you're making, first of all, the temperature in the oven needs to be quite hot. Even for a custard pie, it should start hot. And I'm talking 425, 400 for at least 10 to 15 minutes. The other thing, I mean, on a custard pie, it does pay to put the pie crust in and blind bake it for like 10 minutes.
Okay, blind bake. Review.
It's baking without the filling in it. And so in order to do that, number one, don't stretch your dough when you put it in your pie plate. Because if you stretch it too much, when you blind bake it, it's really going to want to pull back down into the pie plate.
And then it pulls the whole crimped edge with it.
Yes, it does. A double layer of heavy foil. Just put in there and pushed around and holding the edges of your pie in place and baked for a short amount of time.
What's a short amount of time?
I'm saying that 10 minutes, if you're going to put a filling in it, will help.
Okay. So no wheat, no beans, no...
You can. I'm not big into that.
And do you prick it first?
You should. Especially if... You can't always prick it because if, say it's a pumpkin pie. You don't want to be pricking that because you don't want your filling to come down through. So you are going to have to be, or custard. And I do pre-bake a little bit for 10 minutes for like coconut custard pie. But I just stick the foil in there. And it doesn't end up completely baking, but it starts it. And it really does help. The other thing that you can take the bottom and brush it with some egg white. Beat the egg white and brush the bottom, and it helps keep the bottom from being soggy because the fruit juices and things won't sink into the pie. So to completely blind bake a pie shell, I would put that foil or something in there to hold it for the first 10 minutes or until you feel it setting up, then pull that out so that your bottom and your whole pie crust gets nice and crispy and nice and firm. You don't want it soggy.
So is there anything that you can do that's not blind baking that keeps your pie crust from being soggy if you just put the filling in and then bake it?
Well, you want to make sure that you do have some kind of thickener in your, especially if it's fruit pies, you want to make sure you have enough thickener in there because no matter how long you bake it or what you do, if the juices don't get thick, your bottom's going to be soggy. You need them to get a little, I mean, even an apple pie, we don't mind a little bit of juice or whatever, but it needs to be thickened.
So what are thickener options? Cornstarch?
Cornstarch.
Tapioca?
Flour. Mm-hmm. Yes. I like tapioca a lot for fruit pies, for like cherries, blueberries. It just does a nice, apples, peaches, the flour or cornstarch. I'm a big one with just using the flour, actually. Just a couple tablespoons of flour can make all the difference, really. But toss your fruit with it.
Do you recommend a favorite brand of flour for pie crusts? I love White Lily flour for biscuits and cakes, but I think it might be too soft for pie crust. Your thoughts?
I think if you're new at this, you probably should start with a regular flour, not an unbleached. I find unbleached flour harder to work with. You don't want stale flour. So if you're not a baker, don't use flour that's been sitting in your pantry or whatever for 6 months to a year. You're going to have trouble. I really like a good gold medal, King Arthur regular flour. You can mix, which makes a really nice crust, some whole wheat flour in there, but it needs to be pastry, whole wheat pastry flour.
So what would your proportions be?
I put a cup of each, like in a 2 cup or half and half, I would say. Yeah, it makes a really nice, tender, beautiful crust with a little more color to it.
Kay Connors asked, we recently bought one of those countertop mini convection oven toaster combos. Any tips on using a convection versus conventional oven when baking pies?
It's definitely goes a lot faster baking the pie. A lot faster. I'm not crazy about it because I don't think you get the browning, the nice color. I will say that if you can't get a pie done to the middle, that if you switch it from regular to the convection, it gets the pie, the center of the pie. You know, sometimes if you're using frozen fruit, for instance, and it takes a long time and the rest of your pie is getting very brown, but you still have that juicy center, your pie should really, most pies should bubble in the center. You should be able to see it. That's why they used to use the pie birds. They put it in there because the steam, and it would show that the center of that pie was hot. Sometimes the soggy pie comes from the fact that you didn't really get it cooked in the center.
So if you're going to use convection, you use it at the end of the baking process?
I do. I have baked. A friend of mine always did it in convection. But her pies were rather pale, I thought. But it did go faster. I will say, if you're in a hurry, just put a scoop of ice cream and whipped cream on top. Nobody will know. They'll taste fine. I love ceramic and glass plates. I especially love ceramic plates. I love pottery in general anyway. So, you know, and there's presentation. It looks beautiful. And so that's something to think about too. But if you're giving a pie away, you might want to put it in a tin pie plate or even one of those toss away foil plates. And it's okay. I don't think you get the browning and the, I think it's a little easier to get a soggy crust with a tin. I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not big on that. I will say another use when we go back to talking about doing your blind baking. Mm-hmm. You can take a foil, one of those foil pie crusts, pie pans, and put it down inside for the first 10 or 15 minutes. That also will hold it from falling in. That works quite well, actually. Whatever you do, don't put a piece of saran wrap over your pie. You will have a soggy pie no matter what you did. I think there was a reason they used to have those cabinets that had the screen in the front and they put their pies in there. I have pie baskets. They're really good for if you're taking it somewhere or doing something to put it in. Otherwise, a piece of wax paper, if you're worried about it, you know, something getting on it or whatever, leave it. Let the air at them. Don't cover them tightly. They're much, much better if you do.
I've taken to not covering my pie at all, but just storing it in my oven once it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we talked about lard or butter, but what about shortening versus butter for a crust?
Shortening definitely makes a nice tender crust. For the best taste, I find if you use shortening and butter. So I usually, like I said before, use about a third of a cup of some kind of fat, because that's what it is, mm-hmm. per cup of flour. So like in a double crust pie where you would put two or maybe a little two plus of flour, I would put like a third of a cup of the Crisco or some sort of shortening and a third of a cup of butter. Makes the butter brings out the taste and the shortening makes it tender.
And do you use salted butter or unsalted butter?
Whatever. When you're making your dough up, if you know your butter's salted, you might want to cut back a little bit on your salt.
Permagrin 12 asks, what kind of apples if you use just one kind of apples for an apple pie?
It's much better with two kinds. I think sometimes a softer apple and a hard crisp apple, because then you get a little, it mixes up and there's that soft, but there's also some crisper pieces, and a tart apple and a sweeter apple. Two kinds, just two kinds. And I'm not real picky about which kinds. I'm not crazy about Max, but some people do like Max in a pie. I think it's kind
Max, of... Max, you mean Macintosh?
I do.
Max.
Yes. I think they make a mushy pie myself. But mixed with another apple, it's okay. It really is. Or when they're first picked. Their shelf life is not real long, so they tend to get more soft and, dare I say, mealy, but... Some apples do get mealy.
Do you ever pre-cook your apples before you put them in a pie?
It's funny.
And how thick do you cut your apple slices?
I cut my apple slices all different. I mean, they're fairly thin, I guess, but not paper thin. Do I pre-cook them? No, but I just read, I'm always reading and trying to find the best ways too. So in the cook kitchen, they did the apple pie, the perfect apple pie, and they cooked the apples first. The plus of that would be if you were putting a double crust, because when you pile your apples, they're not tight. So they do, when they cook, they sink down. So if your crust is on top of that, you sometimes get that space between the crust and the apples. So that is a plus. First, and the other thing is that it will get done faster. It definitely will get done faster. But, you know, if you're putting a crumb on top, you know, whatever. I kind of like it, the apples to taste more fresh, so I would prefer not cooking them. even if there is, you know what? It's a homemade pie. If there's a little gap in there, yeah. I'm not worried about it.
And do you have any ideas on reheating frozen pies? My grandmother made pies all summer, fall, then froze them and would pull them out for big family dinners. My reheated pies don't come close to how amazing hers were. The Jasper Patch asks, carrying on from Permigrin 12's question about freezing pies above, is it possible or advisable to make large batches of crust and refrigerate or freeze it for use later? My friend has great success making large batches of pizza dough, which she then pulls out the morning she needs it for dinner that night. Not sure if pie crust would last in the same way.
Definitely roll out your pie crust and put it in the pie plate rather than freezing the dough. I think that, especially if you're not really good at pie crust, it's harder. It dries out some and it's just harder. You end up playing with it more and then it gets tough. I will say that if you freeze a pie crust in the pie plate, all made, it's wonderful.
Okay, then walk us through. You've made your pie dough. You've rolled it out. You've put it in the crust, in the dish. Mm-hmm. You've crimped the edge. Mm-hmm. You've covered it with saran wrap.
I would lay a piece of wax paper over the top and then cover it in both directions with saran wrap. And then maybe even put it in a bag if you're going to have it in the freezer for any amount of time.
So it doesn't pick any off taste. Okay, yeah. So now you remove this frozen pie plate from your freezer. And then what do you do?
It should thaw a little bit, I think, before you put it in. But it definitely doesn't have to thaw completely. The problem would be is if your plate is really cold and you're putting it in a 400-degree oven, it's probably not the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. But it takes a while to fill a pie. So usually in that amount of time, you're okay. The one thing you have to be careful with frozen pie crusts is they break very quickly. They not only break, but you can crack them just moving things around in the freezer. So if it does crack, then just let it thaw out completely in the dish and mend it. Just press it together where the crack is and you can use it. It'll be fine. I'm not sure. Did I answer that whole question?
I think so.
Okay.
Stax asks, how in the world to perfect crust making? What would you suggest? I avoid making crusts. Buy them. Make crustless baked goods. I was thinking of taking a day, a weekend, a week to make one after another. Just crusts until I can handle them well and am satisfied with the results. So how do we go from not good at it to very good at it?
I guess when you're making the dough, make it a little bit wetter so that it definitely sticks together, but not so wet that it sticks to whatever you're rolling it out on. The refrigeration thing is a big thing. Make your dough, put it in the refrigerator for at least a half an hour, and then roll it. When you're rolling, roll from the center out. Have your board well floured. Have some flour a little bit on top of the pie dough and on your rolling pin so that, you know, it doesn't stick. And don't panic.
It's just
okay.
Pie.
It's just pie. Just do it. Seriously, I think doing it a lot of times, it does, you know, it's easy for me to say. I can't even tell you how many pies I've made. But don't get worried. Pinch it together if it breaks. Fix it. Just don't keep crumbling it back up and rolling it out, or you will have the toughest, most awful pie crust. Just do it. Just do it. And I would say if you're doing the first one, probably shortening. I think it's a little bit softer and easier to use than when you put the butter in. So you might want to just use shortening for that. And I don't know if I said this before, but you could roll it out and put that piece of wax paper over it and cover it and refrigerate it, not freeze it. You could refrigerate it and leave it like that for a couple days. And then, you know, you have something coming up, a holiday or something, just take it out and fill it. And they actually get very tender from being in there. It's really good. In fact, if you roll them out before you had time to refrigerate that dough for half an hour, and then you just take the pie plate with the pie crust in it and put it in the refrigerator, you pretty much have the same results with a very tender pie crust.
Is there a better way to convert a double crust pie to a single crust other than just leaving the top crust off? I like streusel toppings better than a top crust, but find more recipes for double crust pies.
Well, if you don't want to put the streusel on, which it sounds like I say crumb, but if you don't want to put that on, you can roll your pie dough bigger, a little bigger, like maybe by 3 inches around, bigger than your pie is going to be, and put your filling in, and then fold this top in, pleating it all the way around. And then brush that with some of your egg white or your milk and sprinkle it with sugar. And you'll come out like the set. You could put crumb in the middle of that if you wanted to. Or you could just leave it like that. And when you serve it, you might want to put, you know, some topping on it. But it's very pretty like that. It's a more rustic pie. And you don't have to bother crimping or whatever. It's quite quick, actually.
Are there certain pies that are standard double crust pies or certain kinds of pies that you would always put a streusel or crumb topping on? Are there like rules, unwritten rules?
Well, I think strawberry rhubarb pie is something that just seems to have that top crust. I don't know, the pieces of crust taste good with that tart strawberry rhubarb. It's just delicious. I usually put a lattice crust on that. It's also very pretty. Yeah, cherry pie is good also with a crumb topping. And you might not have to put quite so much sweetener in your cherries because you could put that nice crumb, sweet crumb topping on. And you could put in the topping in crumb, brown sugar or white sugar, a combination is really nice. You can put oatmeal, you can put nuts. It just makes really nice. Now, I got stuck on certain recipes that I really like with a crumb topping. And peach pie is great, but there's nothing like a peach crumb pie. Sarah and I just made up some dough for that. And you actually make the dough and then keep a part of it after you crumble it and add some things to make the topping. And the first time we made that pie, we ate the whole pie, I think. It's really just good.
We've been talking a lot about fruit pies, sweet pies, but what kinds of things can you put in a pie crust for a savory pie?
I don't make them often, but, you know, mostly for me it would be the quiche. It would be an egg-type pie, an egg and milk, and then any number of things, anything you have. Any kind of vegetables and meats and something left over in your refrigerator, it makes a great thing. It even makes supper. Make that up, and then that's where like a pie crust in your freezer would be great. You could come home, just mix that up, put a little bit of bacon or ham leftover chunks in there and some cheese and maybe some herbs. Have a great pie. A great pie.
My fruit pie fillings runneth over. I suspect this is because I'm putting in too much filling. How much filling is too much, and is there a good way to eyeball the amount?
Well, you're going to put more filling with something like peaches or apples because they don't actually, you measure them, but there's space between them, and they also cook down. So if you're going to take like fruit, cherries, blueberries, berries, it's usually around 4 cups, maybe a little bit more than that, but around 4 cups. But with apples, you could easily put six in. Sarah and I were laughing today because I have a bowl that I always put the fillings in when I cut up fruit, like apples or peaches or whatever, and I know exactly how much of that I need for a pie. So you might, when you get an idea, you might get something that makes it easy for you. Remember that putting more in doesn't necessarily make the pie taste better. Especially when it's stuck to the bottom of your oven burning.
So what do you do if you suspect that your pie filling is going to run over?
Well, whether you suspect it or not, I suggest you have some kind of a something you set it on that you're baking so that you don't have a mess, or on the next shelf underneath, unless you're baking a lot of pies.
Can putting something underneath a pie plate disrupt how well the pie bakes in your oven?
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely does. I mean, it pays to get one of those things with the center cut out to bake with so the heat penetrates up through there. Because if you just set it on a cookie sheet, no.
It's not as good.
But no.
I could put a cookie sheet
underneath on the next shelf next to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in a standard oven, you have a your oven isn't standard. Your oven is larger than standard size.
Yes.
But in a standard oven, how many pies would you bake at once?
Two.
You would?
Yeah, two. You can bake two.
Because I have a 24-inch oven, and I can really only bake one pie at a time.
That's smaller than standard, though. But two pies,
Two pies.
You might want to move them around, like halfway through, unless it's something that's got a set. I mean, you don't want to make a mess, but... You know, you can move them around.
So you can start two pies at the same time, and then after 20 minutes or so, rotate them.
Mm-hmm. And if you have room, like, or if you're doing more multiple pies, like four, you can move them from shelf to shelf. And also turn them, because if they're close to the oven edges, sometimes they will brown more. I'm going to really talk about that, but you can cover the edges of the pie with foil. There's some neat things today that you can put over the edges of your pie to keep it from browning too quickly.
And again from Instagram, Polka Dot Knits would like to know about those little things that bakers just know and that don't need to be included in a recipe. For example, in general, when it says butter, it's implied that the baker knows you should use unsalted butter, or how when you use eggs, you should be using room temperature eggs. Things like that.
So one of the things it will often say is to cut the fat into your dry ingredients. It will use the term cut.
Yeah. If you don't have a pastry blender, which is like a little thing with a handle with little knives or wires that cut in, you can use a fork. I would suggest a pastry blender, though. Really, that works much better. You want it to be incorporated so that there's like little pieces of the fat all through the flour. You should take your bowl every so often and go down into the bottom and pull up that dry flour that doesn't have any fat in it, which is what it is, and get that worked in. And it'll almost look, they say about peas, but I never saw it look like peas. But you can tell when it's incorporated and there's no like just dry flour.
But also it's not a homogeneous mixture either.
No, you have to get a feel for that a little bit, I gotta say. I don't know. That takes a little bit. Now, the next thing is probably the most crucial, the liquid.
Okay. So what do all good bakers know about the liquid, whether it's milk or maybe a combination of milk and egg or just water?
Cold. It should be cold.
Ice cold.
Yeah. I mean, milk out of the refrigerator is cold if you're going to put milk in it. We didn't really talk about that, but you can put milk in it. You can put ice water in it. You don't want to be pouring the amount of water that's going to go in all at once. You want to have a fork, not a spoon, a fork, and you want to put some of that liquid on and fork it around, especially if you're new to it. Put a little more liquid on and fork it around. And when you can see it starting to stick together, but it's not goopy or sticky, you know, you can slow down and fork it some more, and you'll be seeing it. It'll be pulling together, and you'll be able to tell by feeling it, maybe not the first time, but when there's enough in there. If you get too much in there, it gets soft. It's almost unbearable to try to roll it out. And if you don't get enough in there, it's just flour falling away and pieces falling away, and you can't do anything. Now, after that's forked around and it feels like it's going to stick together, I suggest you get a piece of wax paper. You dump it all out of the bowl, and you might see at that point that there is some flour in the bottom. Maybe mix that in a little with your hand or work it in, and take it and make a ball out of that. And wrap your wax paper around it and flatten it. Kind of round it out with your hands. Don't overwork it, but put it in the refrigerator for a while, and it'll be a lot easier to work with. You don't have to put it in the refrigerator, but I would say that it makes it easier to work with, and it also makes it more tender. So.
And then what about rolling the dough out and flouring your board and flouring? Like, how much flour should you
use? Minimal.
Minimal.
Yeah, because the more flour you put in it, the tougher it's going to be. You don't want it to stick, but you know, just a little dusting goes a long ways. Now, I tend to turn my dough over quite a bit when I'm playing with it, when I'm doing it. Maybe dust it just a little bit so that I know whether it's sticking or not. And then take my hands around the outside of the dough and just press it in a circle. Just like take your hands and pat it in and get your shape back so that when you get done rolling, it's the shape you want it to be to put it in the pie plate.
And roll from the center out. So it's, how is rolling out a pie crust dough different from rolling out cookie dough, let's say?
It springs back. I think that's the biggest thing. Cookie dough is just pretty much when you roll it, it just stays there. It springs back. And that's the thing that I was talking about. We're stretching it. Be careful about stretching, because if you stretch it and then you bake it, especially if it doesn't have a filling in it, it's going to fall in. It's going to fall right in your pie dip plate and you're going to be very sad. But whatever. You'll do fine. And if not this time, next time.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. Good luck with your pie baking.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire. Just like Linda Curtis, a bird out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for this episode is Sweet. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider liking the show's Facebook page, joining the Yarns at Yin Hu group on Ravelry, or leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.